Scripture reading is from Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9. Hebrews 13, 7 through 9. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the results of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were occupied were not benefited.
Good evening. It's good to see everybody out tonight. So thankful for each and every one of you who have made it a priority to be here, to open up your Bibles along with me. If you do have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Hebrews chapter 13 if you're not already there from the scripture reading. We're going to be spending a lot of time camping, really, in Hebrews 13 through our time together tonight in the lesson as we continue our conversation, really, that we started this morning. Going from this idea of following the leader to now following the leaders, and the idea that's carried forward in Hebrews chapter 13, these leaders that are referenced throughout this chapter, what they were to those who were originally receiving this letter, and what we can apply today in understanding with the conversation from the eldership. When we talk about these things, we're always going to the Bible for this source. So as we discuss these things, as we're processing what the next step is for the eldership here, and by extension, the whole congregation here at West Mason, ask questions, be talking with one another, with the current elders, with Scott and I. We want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to lift up and encourage each other, and that we can see this congregation grow, not for our own encouragement or accolades, but this is about glorifying God first and foremost, and having Him be glorified here in this congregation, in this local body. And when we talk about following leaders, a lot of times what a common phrase that we'll hear is leading by example. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, is how the elders lead by example. The first time I worked any long stretch of time for an employer, I worked for a year for a family-owned Greek restaurant. I'll spare you some of the details of that, but it was a very enlightening, very eye-opening experience working in this restaurant. And the gentleman who owned the restaurant, who trained me, was part of the opening experience. And one of the things he taught me early on and stuck with me a lot since then, as he said, I won't ask you as my employees to do anything that I haven't already done. I will not ask you as my employees, people that I'm expecting to follow my lead and my guidance, to not do anything that I haven't already done or wouldn't do first. And so the understanding, as we've talked about a lot this morning, is that the eldership is focused on leading by that example. And God, through the Holy Spirit today, that is His Word, has established these qualifications we keep coming back to this month, so that the Holy Spirit is indeed the one appointing these men into this position by these qualifications, to lead local congregations by example and by this conduct. And so when we come to Hebrews chapter 13, that's what we see. We're seeing men who are leading by example, and these are the ones that the writer of Hebrews is encouraging his audience to look at and consider. And so we're going to do that tonight, by extension, looking at our own elders and considering those who might be qualified to be elders moving forward. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 was read for us by Will just a minute ago. We have this verse that starts this conversation around the leadership, and the last chapter of Hebrews seems like a hodgepodge of things. But it's because the writer is coming to his conclusion, and he's made this great theological understanding of that the Hebrew people are struggling with, do we keep pursuing Christ, or it's easier to go back to the laws of Judaism? And the writer says, Christ is superior. Follow Him. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. And so now he's giving some very practical application as to what that looks like. And so we come to verse 7, and he says one of the ways that we can do that is to remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life. So I want to focus on those two verbs first, remember and consider. Remember your leaders. And specifically, he says to consider and remember this idea that they spoke the word of God to you. Now, I don't know about everybody in this room, but a lot of times I go to different men and different people who have spoken the word of God to me, especially when I first became a Christian. And so we can certainly make application there, but we have to understand from the perspective of 1 Peter chapter 4 that the elders, because of the position that they're in, are constantly speaking this word to us in the way that they are leading us. They're constantly striving to do the things according to God's way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 say that it's the way that they speak and even the strength that they have to do the work in this congregation all comes from God. It's not of their own design. It's looking to thee, as we just sang about, that we're all trying to do, and certainly the elders are, as they're shepherding this flock. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, and as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we look at this and we understand it's ultimately God's guidance, God's strength that is empowering any of us to do the work that God has set before us. But certainly that applies when it comes to the eldership. And the example that they are setting is ultimately coming from an even higher source, as we've stressed so much so far this month. And then it has this interesting line. Consider, once you remember the way that these elders have once spoken to you the word of God, the way they continue to speak the word of God to you, consider where that's gotten them. Look at the fruit of living this kind of life and see if that isn't the kind of life that you desire to have, that you aspire to. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life. What does that mean? If I say to you, consider the outcome of the way of somebody's life, what are you going to look at? Are you going to look at their bank account? Are you going to look at how many people come up and shake their hands on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings? Are you going to see how much they smile or how often I see them out around in the community, how often they invite me over to their house? What am I measuring these things by? I'd encourage us to understand and keep this in mind that this is not just a matter of physical measurements. This is about spiritual fruit when we are considering the outcome of the way of life of our leaders. This is the writer of Hebrews saying, look at the way that your leaders have demonstrated their faith, the way that their faith has grown, and where that has led them up till this point. It is an encouragement, and it is an example worth following. We'll get to the idea of imitating their faith in just a minute. But I want to jump forward with you to the verse ahead. A lot of times when you might read this, it seems like he's switching gears again. He's going to a different topic. But I would encourage you to understand that this is still the same idea that's present here. So he's saying, remember your leaders, consider the outcome of their way of life, imitate them, which we'll get to in just a minute. But then he says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The nature of human life is that elders come and go. The leadership in a local congregation cannot go on permanently forever. Men will come, men will go. Right now, we are looking at adding to the eldership, that more than three men will serve as shepherds of this congregation. And so that in and of itself is change. And I'm looking at a bunch of humans, and I'm looking at myself, and we all know what change does to our brains and what change can be like when we're trying to process those things. But this is the great promise of Scripture, of when we consider those leaders and the encouragement we can gain from them, and then we think of all the different struggles we might have in that. And the author says, listen, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the shepherd of the shepherds, and still the shepherd of you, my people, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what changes time or circumstances bring to a local congregation or the Lord's people, we all follow the one good shepherd, and he is not vacating his post, ever. That should give us great encouragement when we look to see new men appointed into the eldership. When our pastors follow the pastor, when our shepherds follow the shepherd, speaking as it were the oracles of God, serving by the strength that God supplies, there is consistency And there is foundation. And there is peace. And we can know that we are doing things according to God's standards. That is what we need to remember and consider when we consider these men. Let's go back to this idea of the fact that we are to imitate their faith. He says, once you consider the outcome of the way that they live their life, the priorities that they have set, the values that they espouse, the things that they're doing with their time, with their money, and with their relationships, that should elicit in us a desire to imitate that kind of faith. We talked about this morning, so let's see if those who were here remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, specifically there, verses 31 to through the beginning of chapter 11, Paul will say in the first verse of chapter 11, imitate me as I imitate, not a lot of people, imitate me as I imitate who? Wow, you guys sure you're paying attention? Christ! Let's go back there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, okay? This is not about elders being the sole focus of our leadership. We are called to imitate the faith of our elders because they are imitating Christ, because they are striving to be holy, above reproach, good reputation, all the things that we can look at in the qualifications and see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read verse 11, 1, but let's back up into chapter 10, verse 31 to get a little bit of context here. Paul says there, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me in this way that he's just been talking about, putting others ahead of himself, as I am of Christ. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. So Paul's call in this section of Scripture is to imitate me in the ways that I have imitated Christ. He's setting this example for them, a tangible, applicable way of how Christ's life has shaped one person's way of living now for Jesus. And we can learn from those things. Paul specifically here is talking about pleasing everyone and everything, seeking to shine in those unique opportunities and circumstances you and I find ourselves in. And he says that I am seeking their advantage unto salvation. This is not about trying to get what I can out of the relationship, but looking to the other person's advantage. And he says this is what Jesus did. He desired the salvation of those who would be called his brothers and sisters, the lost ones who had run away from their father, and he invites them to come back home through his son. And so this is the example that Jesus sets. It's the example that Paul is now setting for the Corinthians. It's the example that our elders set for us in the ways that they labor here for the Lord. He mentions in verse 2 of chapter 11 that he's commending them for holding to the traditions as he delivered them. And this is not tradition based on what are our order of worships. Are we going to have Lord's Supper before or after the sermon? That's not the kind of traditions he's talking about here. These are the traditions of sound doctrine. A holy, inspired apostle is giving these traditions. So they are from God, and they are based in sound doctrine of truth. He says this is what it looks like to imitate true faith, is to adhere to what truth is and to be unwavering in that adherence, staying focused on that truth. So this charge to imitate their faith is given in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, as we read, but I encourage you to back up the first six verses and just consider with me some of the things that he's talked about up until this point in this section. So in Hebrews chapter 13, if you want to go back there with me, let's read these together and see if they don't sound familiar based on some of the things we've been discussing so far this month. Hebrews 13, begin in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, it seems to be a hodgepodge, lots of different topics that he's getting into. Showing brotherly love and showing hospitality in particular is stressed here. The care and concern for those who are in difficult times, specifically in this context, those who are in prison for their faith. Honoring marriage and sexuality in the ways that God designed these things to be properly enjoyed and glorifying to him. Being content with the material blessings and not being greedy for unjust gain, as we might have read some other places. And in case you haven't seen this yet, these fall in line very similarly to the qualifications of an elder: hospitable, lover of good, a one-woman man, as it would say, husband of one wife, not being greedy for unjust gain. All these different aspects. Again, we are striving for the same goals as our elders. And so when we are called to imitate their faith, instructions and application at the end of the letter show us how to endure. This is how we endure, is by imitating a faith that is focused on Jesus. These calls to action that he gives are lining up with the elder qualification because they are the qualifications for us to all be looking for, striving for, and having the confidence in God that he will guide us in these things. And then you keep reading through Hebrews 13. We'll get to the middle section here, but he brings up leaders one more time, towards near almost the end of the letter. And he brings up two more verbs. And they're verbs that we don't often like to discuss in our modern age, or at least the world doesn't like to discuss them. Obey and submit. Hebrews chapter 13, skipping down to verse 17. And like I said, we'll come back to the middle here in just a minute, so keep your fingers here. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Though unpopular, obedience and submission under an eldership is part of God's will for a local congregation. Because again, these are men who are shepherding according to God's standards. In this idea of submission and obedience, it's very similar, I think, to marriage and the instruction that God gives to husbands and wives. The eldership, just like marriage, is going to work best if everybody is doing their part. The elders are shepherding, and the flock is obeying and submitting and following, remembering and considering and imitating, as we've already discussed. This works best if we're doing things God's way. The sheep can go astray and not do their part. The elders could go astray and not do their part. We can always point fingers at each other. That's easy. We need to start with myself. How am I fulfilling this role as God would have me? He gives them reasons here why they should obey and submit. Reasons for confidence in that obedience and submission. So why? Because they are keeping watch over your souls. They have your deepest, eternal best interest at heart. They want you to be with God in eternity, and they're going to help you get there if you will let them, because they are watching over you, just as Jesus Christ watches over all of us. He says they will give an account for the way that they shepherd. Elders have this accountability from God that they will have to answer for the way that they lead his people, feed his people, protect and guard his people. There is confidence that God is watching and will make sure everything goes according to his will. And to know that the joyful service of an elder is to your specific advantage. This last part of the verse, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. A lot of times people will pray in the public assembly, "Let us be an easy flock to shepherd." This is the verse I always think of when it comes down to that, because we are striving to be that easy flock to shepherd, and we want to support the elders just as they are supporting us. Again, it's that reciprocal relationship, very much akin to marriage. But this is an idea that they are held accountable, that they are keeping watch over my souls. What am I doing to build them up, to be obedient and submissive to the ways that they are trying to lead me in the paths of righteousness? Let us be an easy flock to shepherd. Am I helping them get to heaven as they are helping me? Let it not be said of us that we are causing our elders or would-be elders to groan at the prospect of taking on this office. It is a noble task, as we've talked about so much already this month. We are to encourage those who we see as qualified to desire that role as well and encourage them in that pursuit. So what's the purpose of all this? The understanding of what's the risk and what's the advantage to obeying and submitting to an eldership? Well, I think the verses leading up to this. What is the risk that you would be led away? If you're not obedient to an eldership, if you're not submitting to a local congregation's elders, where you call your church home, you can be led away. Let's go back up into Hebrews 13 in the body of this writing, picking up in verse 9 after the verse that says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Then he says, "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." So did you catch all this? The ideas that there is lots to be led away by. For them specifically, the references here are pointing back to this old way of living, that the Hebrews, who are Christians now, are tempted to go back to the way that things were done under the old law because it might be easier for them to go about their day-to-day life. Does that sound familiar at all to any of you? I could just go back to the way things used to be before Jesus and things would be so much easier. Some of us just go ahead and do that and don't even think about it. We just live as though we haven't met Jesus. And yet, come into his presence every day of our lives and on Sunday mornings to worship our God, and then the rest of the time we go throughout the week and are being led astray by what he calls strange and diverse teachings. Whatever is before Christ for you, for them it was Judaism, the old law. Wherever you were before you met Jesus, before you obeyed him, before you entered his body, the church, that is what the eldership here is striving to make sure we are not being led away back into, to fall back into those things. They're watching out for your souls. He's saying, avoid these things and know that Jesus desires for us to follow him outside the gate. It's not the place of the most people. It's not the popular place. It's not the pretty place according to the world standards. But it is the right place to be from God's standards, following his son outside the gate to where there is a lasting city. And that is the reward, that we would be, as it says in verse 12, sanctified people through his own blood. Verse 15 and 16 explains how we do that. Practically, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The only reason we even have the opportunity to offer these sacrifices of praise, as the Hebrew writer describes them, is because we have been made worthy, made acceptable, made clean by his son's blood. We are sanctified and we can praise the Father. We are connected to God because of that sacrifice. And that is the desire of any eldership that's sound in the Lord's church, is to make sure we are all focused on this reward, the lasting city where our true citizenship is. This is why we obey and submit, to make sure we are staying on the path and trusting, just as we trust Jesus, that those men who are qualified to be elders are striving for His glory and our eternal benefit. Scott mentioned this earlier, but in the back, there are handouts. Just a little half-pager here. It's got the qualifications from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 that we've been looking at very regularly so far this month. I encourage you to pick one of these up. If nothing else, to just simply keep mindful of these things that are going on here in this congregation right now. And then on the back, I have just this simple question for you to consider. Who will you talk with and pray for in the coming weeks about their qualifications to shepherd the Lord's church at West Mason? And I give you five little lines here. Feel free to add more. Feel free to don't add any. And use less than the five allocated. This is not for you to turn in. This is not for you to give to anybody necessarily. This is a tool for you to keep yourself accountable, that you are thinking on these things. Because whether you feel like I've just preached for 20-odd minutes and it has nothing to do with you, it has something to do with you. If you are in the Lord's church, if you worship here, this is the call. Remember your leaders. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Obey and submit to the ways that they are leading us in the Lord and in His truth. So again, this is a tool to help you to make sure that you are talking, you are encouraging, and you are praying for those men. Make sure you're talking to them if there is somebody or someone's multiple men that you have in mind for this role. As we consider the potential of adding more elders to this role, it brings up an interesting question of who do you follow? We certainly do follow the men who are in the eldership right now, to the extent that they are leading us in following Christ. I love the visual of these triangles that we've had this morning and this evening, because you see that one triangle is very prominently in the front, leading the charge. And then you have all these layers building back that we're all following, pointed in the same direction. But it's that one triangle that's paving the path to God. And it's Jesus Christ. He is the forerunner, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Who do you follow? The choice that you make determines your eternal destiny. You could say that you follow me or Scott or one of the elders here. What I would say to that is, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't follow me for me. Follow Jesus. Follow Him. And if there's anything that can be said of me, it's in spite of myself, quite frankly. It is how much I am trying to be like Christ. That is where our eyes should be fixed. The decision of who we will follow will impact our eternal destinies. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not following anybody. I'm leading my own path. How's that working out for you? Living for yourself, doing what you desire, just pursuing any pleasure that might come before your eyes. How does that work out for you if you follow that path long enough? Because I've done that. I've lived that way. And if you haven't experienced it yet, I can go ahead and spoil it for you. It leads to heartache, and it leads to brokenness, jealousy, bitter strife, jaded perspectives of the world. Maybe you follow a man, some other person, in the way that they teach. Maybe you follow an idol of this world. You're striving for money or approval or power. All of those things are going to lead you into a pit. As Jesus will say, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into a pit. What leader might we follow that truly can see for us? It is following Jesus and Him alone that leads us to life. That when we follow Him, we understand that we follow Him to His death at the cross. And in that death, you and I finally live. that when we are buried with him in baptism, our sins, our rebellion, all of the gross ways that we have offended God with our lives are washed away, and we are made clean before him, and that we now have access to our God, that we can pray to him when we do falter and stumble and come back to him. The question is, are you following Jesus tonight? Are you striving to be more and more like him every day? If you're not, just consider who you are following, what you are imitating, because I'd challenge you to understand that you are imitating something or someone, whether you acknowledge it or not. You and I are designed to follow Jesus, to have this connection with God. It's in our nature because God made us that way. Do you desire to be connected to your Heavenly Father tonight? You can make that choice now. You can come forward. You can make the decision to be baptized for the remissions of your sins. If you have not done that, now is the time. Stop delaying. If you just have questions about what comes next, if you're struggling with a roadblock in making that decision, talk to us. We want to help you make sure that you are right with your Father. If you've struggled in any way in walking and following Jesus as the ways that we've sang and studied about tonight, we can pray for you. We can pray for one another as we're always encouraging each other to do.